Next case for argument, United States v. Goodwin, Mr. Carlson.
May it please the court, Mr. O'Callaghan. My name is Kent Carlson and I'm court-appointed counsel for Mr. Goodwin in this case. I start off by saying Judge Grady called this a very close case and one of the more complex search and seizure cases he had seen in quite some time. And while there were a lot of factors, what Judge Grady himself found that this case really boiled down to was what was the moment of the seizure in this case.
What is it, if you were the police, what would you have done in this situation?
I think that in this situation, Mr. Goodwin was sitting inside of the
small... Well, anyway, otherwise, what would the police, well, if you were the police, what would you have done? Maybe you say nothing, or maybe you say bring the dog into the train, or what?
I think at the moment that Mr. Goodwin is asked to search, and the response is no, I don't want you to search.
Wait a second. I don't understand. At what point does this occur? So the police go in and start to question. Is that okay?
I think the initial approach and ask of questions is permissible.
Okay, now at what point should the police have done some, having started to ask some questions, at what point should the police do something different?
I think at the point where they ask Mr. Goodwin to for permission, first of all, they take his ticket and his identification and
judge. You're not answering my question at all, right? I'm asking you, try to pretend you're a police officer. You have this profile, and you're admitting it's legitimate to use anything just to ask a person a question. So you're a police officer, and you believe in the profile, and you go up to the entrance to the compartment, and you start asking questions. Now, as a police officer, what is it that you should do in order to try to lawfully determine whether this is a drug courier?
I think when Mr. Goodwin's response to the request to search was no.
The bag is locked.
No, initially,
I haven't got the key, wasn't it?
Initially, he was asked permission to search, and Mr. Goodwin said no.
And at that point, what should the police do?
I think at that point, the police officers had an obligation to either attempt to seize the suitcase or...
How could you not answer my question at all? Right? So what should they do? Do you really think they could seize the suitcase? They've got probable cause to seize the suitcase?
I asked you,
what is it, if you're a police officer, what would you do that would be lawful to try to, verify or dispel your suspicions, right? So you've asked him, you're in the doorway. Now what do you do?
I don't think there's anything else they can do at that point. When permission is asked to search,
what should they do when they start questioning it? What should they say?
I suppose at that point they can say anything.
All right.
When it comes down to the point where they ask him, can I search your suitcase, and he says no, I think their inquiry has to stop.
Why? Why does their inquiry have to stop? Why can't they ask him, why would you let me search? Why would you let us search? And maybe he says, bug off or something. But until he orders them to leave, and maybe even after that, what are the limits to which police can stand in the doorway and they're pestering you with questions. Remember, they're not. It's not a Terry stop, right? They're not stopping him. He's sitting there. He doesn't want to go anywhere. They're just standing there, and they're pestering him with questions. Now, can't they keep pestering him?
Yeah.
The train leaves.
Well, the train was getting ready to go.
Right. Okay. So can they keep asking him questions?
And he continued to respond.
He continues to respond and finally gives this utterly goofy answer that he's locked, he's lost the key. Now, at that point, that's the critical point. If you're the police officer and you just heard this really goofy comment, what do you do wrongfully? Now you have grounds for suspicion. Now, what do you do lawfully to verify or dispel those suspicions?
At the point, and Judge Grady found at the point that remark was made, that justified the...
I'm not asking you what Judge Grady said. I'm asking you what you as a police officer would think you are legally entitled to do to pursue what has now become, suspicious character.
In my difficulty in answering the question is I'm not a police officer and I can't...
Well, that's a lousy answer. It's a lousy answer because if you thought about it, you realize that what we're trying to do is balance, the liberty rights of an individual against legitimate interest in investigating crime, right? So the police officer, after he's given a suspicious answer, he has a dilemma. He would like to verify his suspicions. And my question to you is, what can he lawfully do to verify his suspicions at this stage?
At that point, I think if the detention at that point has not amounted to a seizure, and that's where my difficult question.
Tell me, what should the police officer do? Don't give me ifs. What should he do?
At that point, I think the decision to seize the bag is probably fine.
Oh, okay. So he seizes the bag. Now, what now?
To explain this, what you're resisting saying is that the police officer, when the guy says, no, I don't want you to look in my bag, has to just turn around and walk away. Now, that would be one hypothesis, but you don't want to say that. Or the police officer could call ahead to the next station and say, I've gotten this far, you guys pick it up at the next stop, basically. Why aren't the police officers entitled at the first rebuff to continue the conversation, which is what they do here? Where does the Supreme Court say the conversation can't continue?
Because I think the issue at that point becomes, was Mr. Goodwin free to leave?
No, they're just talking to him, though. He says, I don't want you to look at the bag, and they said, where are you going? And he can either say, none of your business, or he can say, I'm going to go visit my sister, or whatever.
Judge, he says to the officers, is this really necessary? And they say, no, it's not. We're just asking your permission.
Yes, the officers keep talking, and that's what they do. They keep talking. And that's when he comes out with this crazy statement about the key.
And it is our position that once they had his ticket, and once he said he didn't want to search, and once he said, is this necessary, and they say, no, it's not necessary, he is not free to leave. And a reasonable person...
I don't understand you're free to leave. He doesn't want to leave. It's so artificial.
Well,
talk about free to leave. He didn't want to leave.
He tried to leave.
Look, this is a unique case. This is the unique case. It's like the Place case, which you don't discuss for some reason. But why isn't the sensible thing... You say the police can... Once he gave the goofy answer, you say the police could seize his suitcase. Well, that's what they did, right? So what are you complaining about?
Because it is our position that Mr. Goodwin was seized prior to the time that what Your Honor calls a goofy answer was given.
And so you think it was improper to ask him the question?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because I think it...
Well, because they weren't interrupting his... It's not like a Terry stop. They weren't stopping him from continuing about his business because he's just sitting there waiting for the train to start.
I think that... this court and other courts have considered situations similar to this in a Terry context.
Just the Place case, right? That's the critical case.
Place is certainly the major case.
But what my problem I have is I would understand Place. If the police here had brought the dog on the train to sniff the suitcase, so they don't make him miss. Now, of course, then they would know they were dealing with. But suppose they'd done that. So, under Place, wouldn't that be perfectly appropriate?
In light of, I would say no, Judge. Because
why not?
I think what happened, and Judge Grady discussed the drug courier profile in general and how the government failed to meet its burden of showing how the factors identified in the drug courier profile apply to this case.
That's irrelevant, because the police can ask people questions without having any grounds whatsoever. So they ask him some questions. He's sitting there. Maybe they're being pestiferous or something, but he answers their questions. Now suppose they bring the dog on the train. Calling him to miss his train, that's like a terrorist stop. That's really interrupting your motion rather dramatically. But if they bring the dog on the train, the dog can do its alerting before the train leaves. So why, if they had done that, why would that be illegal?
Because I think
they're not interrupting his forward motion, and they're not searching him. They're just using the dog. You know, that's not a search. So what's?
I still think they have to have some legitimate basis for doing that.
Not why?
They have
why? Can't they go up to you, if you're on the street, can't they go up to you with a dog and have the dog sniff at you?
I think...
Can they or can't they?
I think they probably could, but that's...
Right, they could. Then how would that be different in this case?
I think doing that on the
street... He didn't want to go. He wants to sit there. He doesn't want to run around the train, right?
I think a dog sniffing somebody on a street is different than bringing a dog into a 4x4 sleeping compartment and...
Not if he doesn't want to leave. That's where he wants to be. That's like being on the street, right? You're in a train. For the train to leave.
And I suggest what he wanted to do was to be free from unwanted...
That would be true. He might hate dogs. So when they come up to you with a dog to sniff at you, you're indignant. Maybe you're even allergic. Nevertheless, it's not a search and seizure. When a dog just sniffs people on the street, right?
Correct. When a dog just randomly sniffs somebody on the street...
Not randomly. It can be based on a profile.
But in this situation, I think it has to be based on something, and there wasn't anything here.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Carlson. Mr. Hutton?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Chris Hotelling, and I represent the United
States. I have the same question.
Yes, sir.
Seems to me this is Place, unless there's some reason why they couldn't bring a dog onto the train. Because if essentially they prevented him, it's like an arrest, because he wants to be on the train, you know, going off, and they stop him. And he misses his train. That's a significant interruption with freedom of action.
And
it may be justifiable, but I wouldn't think it was justifiable if they could just have brought the dog onto the train.
Well, Your Honor, I think, first of all, in terms of the analysis at that point in time, prior to the train actually leaving the station, the defendant, during the course of the conversation with the agents, made the suspicious statement about the fact that he has lost his key.
And but the question is, if the statement was so suspicious that they could arrest him, fine. But if it's just suspicious enough for a Terry stop, then it seems to me... So is that your interpretation? But that is missing the train, is that a Terry stop, or is that something?
Well, I think the missing train is obviously significant, but I think that we need to look at it in terms of the timeline. And the timeline is very clearly that prior to the train leaving the station, and in fact, prior to the train actually being on the...
But look, if a Terry stop is limited, you can't stop a person. You can pat him down. You can't make him take off all his clothes, right? Okay. So they can have the dog. They can have him stopped for a few minutes while the dog sniffs at him. But to make him miss his train is to impose a much more significant restraint. So if you do this in sliding scale terms, the more suspicion, the more restraint. Less suspicion, less restraint. Then I come back to my question. Why didn't they bring the dog onto the train?
There, if I can respond in two parts. And first, the first part of my answer with respect to the reasonable suspicion analysis is that the officers said to...
You didn't answer my question. My question is very simple.
The dog onto the train. Right. I think that the reason that they don't think that they had time to bring...
Well, considered in the district court?
What we do know...
And was this issue considered in the district court?
There were questions during the course of the hearing, and the transcript does reveal that as the defendant and the agents, with the defendant with his luggage in tow, got off the train left. So we know that the time frame in which we're operating is very limited.
How limited?
My memory of the hearing is that the agents boarded the train anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes prior to the train departing. Now, I don't know specifically if the records reflect exactly what time the train left the station, but what the testimony in the record clearly...
Why didn't they bring their dog with them?
Well, at that point, Your Honor, I'm not sure if they had any sort of suspicion or reason.
But they said they had their profile with all those silly facts that they found in their profile.
The agents did have a profile. And,
they could have brought the dog along, according to Judge Posner.
Didn't they have a different person who took care of the dog?
Yeah, a different person. And I think
didn't meet all these people with a profile.
Well, and I think Your Honor hits the nail on the head, because as the record reflects, they had to call to a different facility to bring the dog to Union Station. There was not a dog at Union Station at the time of this search. I believe that there was a dog, and it was Dusty, and it was Officer Mike Domer from the Chicago Police Department, but I believe he was at a different location, not at that time situated at Union Station. And that was why there was the delay at the police office to bring the dog in, because they had to call for the dog. It might have been out at O'Hare, it could have been at Midway, I don't know exactly where, but the record reflects that it took some time and a call needed to be made to Officer Domer to bring Dusty to Union Station.
And he is presumably the only person that can work with the dog, is that? What? They don't hand the dog around.
No, there are trained handlers who are responsible.
What I find disturbing about your case is, yanking people off a train, off a plane, and so on the basis of this minimal suspicion. As I say, this is a more severe interruption than a standard Terry search. Terry stop. So the question is whether we should have either more suspicion or have some procedures in place that you don't subject people to this.
Well, Your Honor, I would respond first by mentioning the fact that when the officers were on the train and the defendant made the suspicious comment about his luggage, the agents said to the defendant, "We intend on seizing your luggage. We would like to take your luggage off the train, and we'd like to take your luggage back to the police station in order for us to continue our investigation with respect to your luggage." Now, they also asked the defendant at that time, "We'd like you to come with us off the train so that we can provide you with a receipt for your luggage."
But the district court found that they were standing there holding his ticket. So if the train left and he didn't have a ticket, that would have been a serious problem for him, too. I know that was contested, but the court resolved that.
Absolutely. The court certainly resolved that issue. And then obviously that was a disputed issue. However,
the police have delayed the departure of the train.
Could the police have delayed the departure of the train? I suppose that's possible, Your Honor. I'm not sure that it's clear.
If anyone hasn't hit somebody, then they can always stop it for an investigation. Is this just another police investigation?
Well, and I think that's a point, and I'm not sure it was fully developed during the course of the hearing, but nevertheless, I'm not sure that they needed to pursue that point, because by a certain point in the encounter, they had reasonable suspicion to detain the luggage, and they took it off the train, and the train left. So I'm not sure that it was ever developed as to whether
how
or not
long
it
did
left.
It, how long before it, between when they questioned him on the train and when Dusty
the dog
ran wild?
Well, I think what we can that the luggage was taken off the train. It was wheeled to the police office. And as I indicated a moment ago, the officers contacted Mike Domer. I believe, as my memory serves from the hearing, it might have been a half an hour before Officer Domer and Dusty were able to come from wherever they were to Union Station. And that's just my recollection of the hearing.
But can you have a 1.5 hour ferry stop?
But by that time, Your Honor, the context of the encounter is very different, though, at what's going on at the police station. At the police station, the defendant provided consent to the officers to search the luggage. The officer, and at that point in time, the defendant kicked off his shoe, said, the keys to my luggage are in my shoe, and there's money and dope in my baggage.
No, if you've already taken him off the train, he's missed his train. I mean, that's a major problem. If he turned out to be innocent, he'd miss his train, and that would be too bad.
But at that point in time, there was reasonable suspicion as
to... Yeah, the reasonable suspicion is a Terry stop.
Correct.
But when the Morales is initiated, it's just a Terry stop. And once you get them in the police stations, other things develop. But they hadn't developed when you took them off the train.
There is the issue about the investigation with respect to the baggage, and that's where the dog comes in. And
in that sense, the dog, I thought, was only relevant, really, to whether this consent was of any use, because they said, we're going to get a warrant for your bag. And, is this a credible threat, or is this just bluffing? And so, once we know in some odd after-the-fact sense, I'm not sure if I really... I think this is a good line of reasoning, but anyway, after the fact we find out that yes, it was a credible threat because the dog alerts. I guess if the dog hadn't alerted, I don't know if it would have been a credible threat or not. They didn't know they would get a warrant. They knew they were going to try to get a warrant.
Well, I think that they had a genuine intention that they were going to...
Yeah, but how did they know? I mean, it could have been some poor, hapless person with a cash one-way ticket that these people have ruined his day over.
Are you suggesting that when they brought the luggage to the police station, he had said to me, you had to take the luggage to the police station so you could give me a receipt. So I'd like my receipt
and I want to go about my way.
And you think the police would have permitted that?
I do. Absolutely. I think that if that is what happened, and at that police station...
Now, how long can you... So you see this as the Terry stop is the stop of the luggage. So how long can you retain a person's luggage?
Well, I think that a reasonable amount of time to affect your investigation as to that luggage. And I believe now, and this is at this point we're somewhat in speculation, because I believe, we the facts as they happened in this case were a certain way. But let's run through the hypothetical that you proposed, that at the police station, he says, "I want my receipt," and I'm walking out the door. At that point in time, I think that the officers have an entitlement to call for the dog, have the dog perform an analysis, a sniff test on that luggage, and proceed accordingly. Now, let's say that the dog didn't.
How long do we have to do that?
A reasonable amount of time.
What's that? What if the dog is in Peoria?
That I would, that, then that would be at least an hour or at least an hour to bring the dog.
That's a long time.
But I think having a dog and knowing
the dog. It's a long time. It's too long. Too long, you're saying.
It could be. It could be too long. But if you know that a dog is within the Chicago area, and that the contact was made to the dog, and the dog was to be brought immediately to the facility in order to perform the test, I think that's reasonable.
But the problem is, you're asserting the right here to make people miss their flights and their train travel and everything on the basis of reasonable suspicion, even though you think of the Terry stop as something that lasts, 5 minutes.
Well, I believe that there was a Terry stop with respect to, it was reasonable suspicion.
But what you're saying is you can strand people in strange cities. You can impose really considerable hardship on people on the basis of reasonable suspicion. That's your proposition.
I'm not sure I'm saying it exactly that way, Your Honor.
But that's what it amounts to, right?
Well, I'm not sure.
Instead of a 5-minute Terry stop, you have someone stranded and could be stranded in a strange city, doesn't have money for a hotel.
You can have there's train service these days. It's very likely there's only one train a day to various places.
As it was true here, yeah.
I believe that the record does reflect that the next train to Denver was going to be the next day.
So it's like a 24-hour Terry stop.
Well, Judge, I don't think it's easy. I mean, the defendant was not. Let's take your example.
It's a 24-hour Terry stop.
I respectfully disagree, because I think that, let's take your example, and let's say that he went to the police office, that he requested the ticket or requested the receipt, and he walked away. That's the end of it. I mean, now the fact that he's not going to be
in the train. But
he's not seized. He's not detained.
There's no magic. Look, what would you want? Would you rather be detained for 1 minute or miss the weekly flight to Berlin or something like that? Obviously, you'd rather be detained for... But if you go to an airport and they say, look, you have a choice. We can search you. It'll take 5 minutes. We're going to tickle you, pass instruments all over your body. Or else, if you want to do that, we'll just look at your luggage or something, but you'll miss your plane. Well, everyone's going to choose the detention, right? So given that, don't get back to the fact that you're claiming the right to impose on basic reasonable suspicion much greater hardship than Terry contemplates.
My response to that is, when we're discussing the analysis on the train itself, the officers asked him, would you accompany us back to the station and we can provide you with a receipt? He had an opportunity at that point.
Well, that's what you have just...
But they had his ticket. He didn't really have an opportunity. I guess he could have just walked off onto the streets of Chicago, but he couldn't have stayed on the train.
If the detectives and the dog had gotten on the train and left with the train, I suppose that's another way to bring the cat here.
I think that that is a possibility, Your Honor. I think that is a possibility.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
And, just to conclude, the government will respectfully request that the defendant's conviction and sentence be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. Carls, your time has expired. All right. So our last case for argument, and thank you, Mr. Carlson, you were appointed, so we thank you for your efforts on behalf of the government. Last case for argument, United States versus Morales.